Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news as Manchester United make a move and enter a bidding war with Elliot Anderson. We've also got more club spin PR rubbish coming out. We'll talk about that as well. Some interesting, an interesting tweet I want to get into as well about how if Man United don't get Elliot Anderson, how do you rebuild the midfield? There's not actually a lot of experience out there. We've got a little bit coming out from Matter about Rashford. We've got some from Glasner, some comments from him. But look, I want to start off, first of all, we will start about Elliot Anderson, but Villa losing against Wolves last night. Incredibly, Man United can be third tomorrow if we win. I mean, we probably did predict that Villa would implode, but 1 point from six against Wolves and Leeds at home means that we have another club that is opening up the door for us. So, look, as I said last night, I think I've got a bit of toast on it. As I said last night, Not playing one game a week is going to be massively beneficial for us. I mean, I don't even think we've played well the last couple of games and we've took 4 points. And I think a lot of that's down to the energy that we have later on in games compared to some of these other rivals who I think, you know, Liverpool, West Ham could be interesting today. Chelsea, Arsenal, won't, you know, I think they drop points. So looking good there. But look, that's what Europe does to you. I think that's a bit of a warning in some ways. There's short-term gain, but there's long-term pain. We're going to be in the same position as Villa and Liverpool and Chelsea next season, and I don't think we've got the squad for it. So short-term gain, but I think there's fans out there getting really excited about third place and Champions League football, and it's going to be completely different in August, in my opinion. And I just wonder whether we've got the owners to figure that out, because I don't rate them. And this is why this story coming out this morning about Elliot Anderson is so important. Manchester City and Manchester United are to go head-to-head this summer for Nottingham Forest midfielder Elliot Anderson. Both clubs have made the 23-year-old England international their priority midfield target. Forest are valuing him at around 80 million. A bidding war is expected as the Manchester rivals look to strengthen in the middle of the park. This is coming in from the Mirror, by the way. The upcoming World Cup is expected to complicate the timing of the deal, though. So, look, I think the World Cup is very, very interesting. My Chili says bidding war is a bit crazy title today. Well, tell me why it's a crazy title, my Chill. I mean, I'm sorry if I've offended anybody, but bidding war tends to be something to do with, you know, bidding for something. If you want to read into something that it's not, well, apologies. Don't know what you're talking about. The United Stand football channel for the last 10 years talking about a transfer bidding war. Anyway, let's carry on with the show. So, I think that the World Cup probably does have a very big impact on this. I don't think Elliot Anderson follows Manchester City on Instagram anymore. But look, I want to add this context into this because I think this is really interesting in relation to this. It was Man United being linked to Lucien Agüero of Sevilla, I think he plays for. And then it was Swedish Rumble again. We're giving him a couple of shout-outs the last couple of days. He said, Agüero, Belaba, Stiller. Building the midfield around players that are 22 to 24 and not quite established is scary, but what options are there? If Anderson goes to City and Tonali's going back to Italy as reported, what established midfielders can United target? João Gomez, Onana, Locatelli, McKenney, Kone, Fernandes, Hjulmland, Edison, Kamara. I think the key is to rebuilding the midfield will be numbers. Liverpool signed four midfielders in Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch and Endo in one summer when they rebuilt theirs. There's going to be having competitions for spots is very, very positive. And with Ugarte moving on as well, I would like to see four midfielders signed. I think this is, look, there's a lot on that tweet. But he does follow, still follow City, sadly, says Gibbo. But I think it was a great point because it's something that we've sort of touched on a little bit. Elliot Anderson, Man City or Manchester United? Look, hopefully Manchester United. Reality, Man City are in the race. As I said to you in January, Man City would have done the deal for Elliot Anderson in January. They had the money, they would have done it, but Forrest didn't want to do it. I don't think Anderson wanted to do it. I don't know, but they couldn't do it. So they are interested. They will do it. They'll try and get it done quick. They'll be in talks with him now. Man United will be in talks with him as well. This is not a deal that you can just sit back and wait until the summer and say, we'll talk to you after the World Cup. You've got to be talking now. Like Forrest, he ain't going to stay at Forest. There's no reason to stay at Forest. Sometimes you get a signing where a player might be like, I'm waiting till the summer. I don't want to talk to anybody because I might stay here. Bruno Fernandes might stay at Manchester United, might go somewhere else. He's said he'll decide after the World Cup. Every reason to stay at United. He's been here for years. We will be in the Champions League, I believe. But he might get better offers from PSG, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. You don't know. So Bruno is one of those players where it probably is, I'm not interested in talking about stuff at the moment. Go through my agent, blah, blah, blah. With Elliot Anderson, he will be leaving Forest in the summer. So conversations will be taking place. I wonder about this, and I'm just going to drop it out there. I do wonder with Elliot Anderson, the way that Manchester City work, I do wonder if they might try and push to get this done before the end of the season, certainly before the World Cup, because they're just that sort of club. They're a little bit like Chelsea. You know they want something, they tend to move on it. And if they can't get it, they'll move on to something else. It's a bit like when we wanted Alexis Sanchez and they were interested. They laid the cards on the table. Sanchez wanted a wage bidding war and they went, no, thank you. So I think with Man City, I think they might go a little bit soon on this. Now, I don't know whether that's going to suit United or not. I would say unless City get that 115 thing done before the end of the season, I think that I would say United are probably 30% chance of getting him and Man City 70% of getting Elliot Anderson. I don't know what you would do it. Some people seem to think it's 50-50. I've even spoken to one journalist who thinks Man United might get him. So look, I'm not saying I'm definitive on this. I just feel it's 70% Man City, 30% us. Because wages will matter. I know what Ben Jacobs was saying is about you'd be surprised how players don't see money as important. Look, I like Ben. I respect Ben. But I've also been around football a lot in the last 10 years, especially. And there are a lot of players that go for money. And they're in the right to do that. I think it's naive to think that footballers don't follow money. Of course they bloody do. They're one of the most justifiably, we were talking about Mainoo. You're not going to sit at Man United and say, don't worry about the contract, I'm on 50 grand a week, when Mason Mount's on 250 grand a week. And that's the big thing. I think what Ben Jacobs said almost came across that players aren't motivated by money in the sense that they might go for a project. I know what he means. Like, if Everton say we'll give you £500,000 a year, a week, and Arsenal say we'll give you 200 grand a week, you're going to go to Arsenal because of the project. I get what he's saying there. But what is also true is if you sign for Manchester United and you're on 150 grand a week, or 200 grand a week, and you walk through the door and you see Mason Mount not injured again on 250 grand a week, that causes a problem with players. They don't like that. That's why they have agents. So money will come into it. Man City will be able to put good money on the table. They will be able to put a good project on the table. And I think we can match Man City on the fee. If Forrest want 80 million, I think we can both pay that. I don't think that's necessarily a problem. I was listening to what Andy Mitten said about Sesko. Newcastle actually apparently offered more wages to Sesko to go to Newcastle. Man United matched the transfer fee for Sesko with Leipzig. So there's an example of what I mean. I think sometimes, you know, you might get a slightly higher wage at a club, but you want to go to that club. And the Sesko example is really good because it wouldn't have been a world of difference between Newcastle and Manchester United, but with the best will in the world, Newcastle isn't Man United. And we all said this in the summer. If this summer, Stiller has to choose between Man United and Newcastle, and Man United give him 20, 30 grand a week more, I think he'd choose Man United. I think that's where what Ben Jacobs is talking about. The project sometimes balances the extra money. But if it's Liverpool or Man United, and Liverpool are offering a little bit more money, I think you've got to have a very, you've got to get a bit lucky there. And I think Man City will be able to offer more wages. So look, we've got to be in it to win it. You've got to be brave to win. And I think that we're in this race. I think the fans are doing their bit. Well, apart from you, Prats, yesterday saying you wouldn't pay £100 million for him. I mean, hopefully he wasn't watching. But I think in the main, we do want him. I think he'd walk straight into this team. And my theory is that we're going to have to move quick on it. A bit like Liam Delap. Liam Delap was like this. Talks with Liam Delap were going on in April and May before the season was over. He was going around talking to clubs. And I think Elliot Anderson might just say, let's get it sorted before the World Cup. Nottingham Forest might not. There was a great comment in there. Somebody said, well, Forest might want to wait till after the World Cup. They may well want to wait till after the World Cup, but and that might go in our favour. It might not. I don't know. But look, you've got to be in it to win it. And I think that's the main thing. But I do agree with that tweet. And I did want to bring that in from Swedish Rumble. Casemiro gone. Ugarte gonna go. Bruno, we don't know. Leaves Mainoo. Next season, Premier League, Champions League. How many midfielders do you think you need? I think we need three signings. I do. I think if you brought, and I'll just give you three names, Elliot Anderson and Mecha and Belaba, Mainoo. I still think that four is about right for Champions League football. So I think it's definitely quantity that we need. And I agree with the point of Liverpool. I don't like doing this, but I do because it's so relevant to us. I've never seen in the Premier League, and maybe some of you have, I've watched all of the Premier League and I can't think of one. I've never seen a summer where a midfield got rebuilt in 2 months. And Jurgen Klopp did it at Liverpool with Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch and Endo. I think we need to do something similar. I think it's been done. It can work. And the reason I think we need to do it is that if you bring in Enmecha or Stiller or Belaba or Anderson or Wharton or Manu Kone, you bring all these players in, none of them can guarantee that they're going to hit the ground running. None of them can. And Mainoo's 21. So next season, if you only buy Elliot Anderson and Enmecha and you've got Mainoo and two of those signings struggle, that midfield, you might have spent 120 million quid on it, but that's a problem. I would go volume as well. I would bring three midfielders in, Mainoo, and then at least if a couple of players are struggling, you've got a bit of competition for places. I think that's the sentence for me. I would generate competition for places this summer. So Casemiro goes, Ugarte goes, Mainoo, three others, four people going for two spots. Obviously, you're going to get injuries as well. I think we need three midfielders this summer because there's no... Unless you can get a Tonali. If you can get a Tonali, that makes a big difference because he's experienced, he's Premier League proven. But I don't think we will. So I think we need to go for three midfielders this summer to give us competition for places. Now, that probably isn't the way that Manchester United work. If I'm being completely honest, I don't think that's how Wilcox works. I don't think that's how the Glinios ownership work. I think they will go, you're getting two. I mean, considering last summer we got none, and this January we've got none. I can't imagine them signing three midfielders this summer. But I think when you look at what Liverpool did, it's actually common sense to have competition for places for players that might take time to settle. You just give Elliot Anderson the shirt and plays every week. Might hit the ground running, might not. Goz says, I'll pay £120 million for Anderson. I genuinely think he's a better all-round player than Rice. I like that. Imagine Cobby breaks into the England squad and plays with Anderson, a partnership for club and country, which could last for years, maybe a reason to pick us, says Vincent. I think that's very unlikely with Declan Rice around, but, you know, if there's an injury to Declan Rice, I suppose it could happen. I don't know whether... Do we think Mainoo will go to the World Cup? I mean, we're about to find out. I think these next couple of games, next three games, are really important for Mainoo because Palace tomorrow... Newcastle on Wednesday and then Villa the weekend after next. And then it's the international break. So I don't know whether he's left it a little bit late. I don't know whether Mainoo will go to the World Cup. I think it's a tough one. So we'll have to wait and see. Patrick Lynch says, look, to be honest, hot take or bad take, I think the midfield's been poor the last two games. I don't think Maynou's played well the last two games. I don't think Casemiro's played well the last two games. And I don't think Bruno's played well the last two games. So if he's going to the World Cup, he's going on reputation. I don't think he's going on performance at the moment. I think the last two games, our midfield's been poor. It's the defence and the attack that have made the difference. Would you want him to go to the World Cup? I would want Maynou to go to the World Cup for him, because he missed half a season, and it would be a nice story for him. From a Man United point of view, I always worry about fitness in the next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Next season. Polen, welcome to the Members Club. You're an absolute legend, sir. Thank you very much for tuning in. And Goldfridge says, Declan Rice chose the vision of the Arsenal project over the ready-made Man City one. Let's hope Anderson has a similar mentality of wanting to be the linchpin in the rebuild of a historical club. That's very, very interesting that you say that about Declan Rice, because he did choose Arsenal. Then again, he's also London-based. So I think Declan Rice was also interested in that as well. Also, in relation to the Declan Rice transfer, Arsenal put a hell of a lot of work into that for months as well. But look, you might be right. Patrick Lynch says, the scariest thing about the Anderson transfer is that this hierarchy has shown it's very slow to pivot. It's why we are still in for Baleba. We need to move quickly this summer, but they have a history of dragging their feet. Look, I think the pivot from Anderson to Baleba is like pivoting from, the best burger in the world to a bag of crisps that are past their sell-by date. Probably could have done a better analogy, but I think there's a hell of a change from Ali Anderson to Baleba. And if United are going to do that, I'd be worried. Would you take Jack Grealish, says Wub? No, I think Jack Grealish is... I think Jack Grealish is an incredibly talented footballer when he was at Aston Villa, but I think Man City... The trophies, the medals, the money. I think his body and mind have checked out of football a little bit, to be honest. I know you have good sources. Have you heard anything recently in favour of us for Diamande and Anderson, says Tubby? I've not heard anything about Diamande, other than what I said to you a couple of weeks ago, that United are in talks with Leipzig and actually can move on that deal and want to move on that deal because he's the priority winger. And we're obviously in talks with Anderson as well. So what I would say, Tubby, is what I always say every year, is that we're probably 3 weeks away from the biggest two-week period of the transfer window before it actually opens. The March international break is always huge. And I think with the World Cup, it might have started a little bit earlier as well. I'm aware of a couple of clubs in talks with Murillo at... show me the way to Murillo. That Forest left-back, left centre-back, Brazilian lad, Murillo. I know two Premier League clubs are in talks with him already. So look, you know, people are doing things earlier because of the World Cup. Anderson only joins if we get top five, says Spin, which we will. We will. I mean, I was listening to what Glasner had to say about the game tomorrow, and I just don't, you know, you shouldn't do this really, but I will do it. He said, we need confidence at Old Trafford. I watched their match at Everton. It was a fantastic transition goal. You can see the speed that they have in attack. I also saw that Everton caused them problems. So I'm looking forward to being at Old Trafford. I think Crystal Palace are going to really struggle tomorrow because of the fact that they played on Thursday and that they're struggling anyway. So win that game tomorrow above Villa, should be 6 points clear of Chelsea if they lose to Arsenal, and maybe six, probably 3 points ahead of Liverpool. I think it just gives us breathing space going into potentially three more difficult fixtures. Newcastle away, Villa at home, Bournemouth away. They will be interesting games for us. But look, I think we're benefiting from those clubs around us having a lot of injuries and playing a lot of football. So, Cheaper options, Enmecha, Edison and Rios, says Azam. I don't see Rios moving from Benfica this summer, but I wish we'd gone for him in the summer. I really would have liked him. Enmecha was awful in the Champions League, says Rainfall. Yeah, but I watch the Bundesliga, as you know. I think he's very suitable for the Premier League. I think some people watch one or two games and judge a player. I think that's wrong. I would say that if you've watched Belaba twice this season and played badly, that's wrong. It's unfair. He's actually played badly for 6 months. So you do need to... And look, we do live in a world where everything's right here, right now, left or right. And there is a centre ground. And I think Enmecha will be a good Premier League player, whoever he signs for. Now, if that's Man United, probably not. But I think I would say he's the sort of player that can come in as your third midfielder. Maybe not the starter, but your third midfielder and compete for places. I think he's a good player. Anderson walks straight into the United team, which is a bonus, says Ray. Well, I think any midfielder that we go for, we can actually say you walk straight into our midfield. The interesting thing is Rodri could be on the move from Real Madrid as well. So Man City can probably offer that to Elliot Anderson as well. And I think he probably would walk into their team. I think if Pep Guardiola stays at Man City, we've got no chance. I think if Pep Guardiola leaves Man City, we've still got a hard job. Having said that, I don't really want to talk about the manager this morning because it's not on the agenda, but if Man City replace Pep with Maresca, I still think that's a really solid, stable environment. Maresca has done very well at Chelsea and obviously left because of a fallout. And Man City have got some incredible players, and their transition next season is that they'll probably will be title contenders. Their team is too good. Next season, Man City will have Haaland up front, Donnarumma in goal, Gehi at centre-back, Semenyu on the wing. They'll still have Cherki. They'll still have Foden. They'll still have Nico O'Reilly. They're still going to have a really good team, Man City, next season, and Maresca will be a good manager. You put Elliot Anderson in that team, it's even better. So you can see what the project is. Man United are going to say, we've got a new manager coming in, and we don't know who it is, or we're going to keep Michael Carrick. And if I was Elliot Anderson, I would go, well, I know Carrick's done a really good job, but look at how many managers you've sacked. Maybe look at what happened with Solskjaer. What if it goes wrong? Also, you don't have a great track record with your fans for having good summer transfer windows. So beyond me, who are you actually buying? You might... I don't know whether players do that. But the player, Elliot Anderson, might look at Man City and he might look at Man United and he might go, all right, Pep Guardiola's going, but you can see Man City's stability. At Man United, this could go wrong very, very quickly. You could buy me and nobody else and that team's not good enough. So it's whether the player thinks like that. I don't know. Those three midfield signings for Liverpool were also intelligent and well scouted and not blockbuster price tags. We need to adapt some of that for our recruitment. I hate praising Liverpool, says Emily. Well, look, you could buy Stiller and Enmecha and another midfielder and they would all be under 50 million quid or 50 million quid and below. So you can buy intelligently. And I think Liverpool did do it intelligently that summer. And I think we do need quantity. I think that's really, really important for United. Mazraoui says, random, but you look really good today. Well, I've got my stylish shirt on. I was even going to do the top button up, but I thought that's too far for a morning show at 10 o'clock. It'll blow people's mind. Ross McRae Magician says, time flies. 10 years ago today was Rashford's debut. Wow. That does make me think. Well, did you hear what Juan Mata said about Marcus Rashford? I think I did bookmark it somewhere. So let me see if I can find it for you. Just about Rashford, Romano tweeted again, Barcelona maintain optimism to get Rashford permanent deal done in the summer. Agreement almost done on player side, while Man United insist on the 30 million being fully paid. There was a comment from Juan Mata. I think I might have skipped it there. I have got it. Yeah, Juan Mata on Marcus Rashford. It's not easy to handle with all the expectations and the pressure at a club like Manchester United. But I think people will realise that he was a kid and he was a man who gave everything for the club he supported since he was a kid. I think the problem, Juan, was that he didn't look like he was giving everything for the badge in the last 18 months, to be honest. I mean, I never really commented on him massively. I know a lot of you did. not jumping for headers, jogging around. For whatever reason, something went wrong in the last 18 months. And I would never blame Rashford totally, because I know how the club works. And he sat there himself and said it was time for a new challenge. I think people overanalyze things too much, in my opinion. You know, why did Paul Pogba fail at Manchester United in the end? Why did Rashford fail in the end? Why did Martial fail in the end? You know, we know what happened with Mason Greenwood, whether rightly or wrongly, whether you agree with it or not, we know that had to be the end. With Marcus Rashford, I don't know. Man United gave him the platform. They gave him the money. They gave him the contract. He very rarely got dropped. And yet he wasn't happy. And I think he needed a new project. But I don't look back on Rashford. I look forward and I go, it's great what he's doing at Barcelona. He can't come back to Man United. I think that would be career suicide for him to do that. And I don't think there's much desire for anybody to bring him back. But that doesn't mean you can't look back at 10 years ago or some of the good moments. But the last 18 months, we can't paper the cracks. It was poor, and he was a factor in that. And, you know, the Belfast night out, some of the performances, I don't know, but something clearly went on there. And you can't, it's like I saw a story coming out today about, I think it was the Telegraph, sort of, again, another hit job on Amrin from somebody in the club. And you sort of like go, a week ago, well, we'll come to that in a minute. But it's like, it's almost like there's a bit of revisionism around Rashford. Like, I've seen people going, oh, no matter what, I love Rashford, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, that's fine, but the last 18 months was crap. And he's in the right place where he wants to be, where most of us want him to be. And hopefully he gets his move to Barcelona. I wouldn't want to go back to that last 18 months of Rashford. There was a reason we are where we are now. And I think everybody's in a much better place. And fair, you know, fair play to the club and fair play to the fans and fair play to Rashford. It's time to move on. I mean, at least we haven't got an ex-player putting Instagram posts out of a lion with a bloody mouth because they're playing Arsenal tomorrow. you never know. He might score a hat trick tomorrow, but I'm just sort of like, what goes through the head of that player when he's a bench player for Chelsea? He's done next to nothing this season. They've got a huge game against the best team in the league tomorrow, away. And he's posting a picture of a lion with a bloody mouth before the game. Chelsea fans must be just going, the fuck is he doing? And United fans are going, we'll leave that with you. We'll leave that one with you. It's, yeah. That's what I mean. I don't hear people talking about regrets when it comes to that player. And I think he had a very, very high ceiling. At least with Rashford, we did see the talent for a few years. With other players, you never see the talent. And Mr. Lowkey was a favourite of mine. He was. Look, I'm longing the tooth enough in life to know that you make mistakes in judgment and you have to be big enough to own them. But yeah. But you know how I reacted in the summer and you know how I react now. You know, if you disrespect this football club, you're gone. You're gone. Good comment, Ross, though. 10 years since Rashford made his debut. Ray Carl Brown Amore, absolute legend of the chat, has just gifted 5 memberships. Thank you very much, sir. Dirty Deed says, can you build a 3-man midfield within a Glinios budget if you include Elliot Anderson? It's a good point. Like, if you spend £80 million on Elliot Anderson, can you buy another 2 midfielders? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I think you need to. But you can't not buy Elliot Anderson because you want to buy 3 midfielders. Like, that's like not buying the best car in the showroom so you can buy 3 other cars. You still get the best car. You've got to go best in class, essentially. You get what you pay for. But you can't just go, let's not get Elliot Anderson and get 3 inferior products. Like, we have to get Elliot Anderson and then you have to go and try and get 2 other players as well. And look, if we scout well, I'm not saying all three of them need to be £50 million midfielders. There might be somebody who's like a little bit younger, a little bit older, from a more obscure league. You might get them in for 20 or 20 or £30 million. But We can't walk out of this summer with 2 midfielders. I really think it's going to hurt us next season. I mean, look, I don't agree with this statement, but you could argue that Maynoo is still unproven. Like, we all like him, but as I said, the midfield in the last two games has been really poor. What if Maynoo doesn't become the player we think he is as well? So I think it's a naive football club that just says, well, we're all right with Maynoo. I think we will be all right with Maynoo, but what if we're not? What if he gets a bad injury? Maynoo's the only midfielder we've got next season. Guaranteed. Bruno's a 10. There's two midfield slots and Maynoo's the only one who can fill it. So I think we need three. Rashford and co failed. They had more to win than they did. They could two European Cups, more Cups and fight for title. It's time to move on, says Ray Carl Brown Amore. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, look, the last 10 years, the last 13 years hasn't been anywhere near the level of Man United. And that's what we're trying to get back to. I just fear that, again, it's not really for this show, but I actually think that the club is built for the next 5 years, maybe 10 years, just to finish in the top five. I think if you said to Glinios, you can have fourth place for the next 10 years and not win anything, they'd say, sign us up, which is not what I want. Ricky's grandson says, cheers, Mark, to you and all the United Stan community. I'm just looking at your bloody profile picture there. If Carrick gets the job, I could see Hackney, Anderson and one of... Well, Hackney's an interesting player, Josh. I mean, I don't know why Hackney's not being looked at by Newcastle and Spurs and Chelsea and Liverpool and Arsenal and Man City, because you lot go on about him all the time. But here we go. Maynoo has already become what most of us think. Look, apologies, everybody. I feel like I'm going to have to do something here that I never normally do. So I'm going to go to the BBC News website. So US and Israel launch attack on Iran. Okay. So that's why people are talking about war. Dear, dear. Stay safe, everybody. Look, this is a football channel, but... yeah.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I don't know what to say. We'll stick with football. I just don't know what to say. It worries me. It worries me because I think we have a great world with a lot of good people in it. And those sort of things just, they worry me. But look, we'll focus on the football. A couple of other things I wanted to talk to you about this morning. I spoke about Murillo, spoke about that. Interesting what Emery said after the game last night. 1 month ago, I was dreaming about maybe winning the Premier League. Now we are in the average in the race to be top five. We called this about Villa. There's a very big chance about that Villa could drop out of the top five completely. I think we've caught them now, and we probably will. Villa don't worry me at all from a Man United point of view. That we're only going to move further away from them now. Randy says Emery's an average manager. I think Emery's a fantastic manager. I don't know where this has come from. I think it's the moronic inability to live beyond today and actually look at the past and the future and the levels. And what Emery has done at Aston Villa over the last 2 to 3 seasons is incredible. The fact that he's put them in the top three for most of the season is incredible. But they've lost their entire midfield, mate. It would be like us having an injury to Maynoo, Casemiro and Bruno. They've literally... What would we do if Bruno, Casemiro and Maynoo were out till May? McGinn, Tielemans, Kamara, gone. What would Arsenal do without Zubimendi, Odegaard and Rice? What would Man City do without Rodri and whoever plays in their midfield now? I don't actually know. They've had a very... they've had the heart of their team ripped out of them, which when you bring it back to Manchester United is why so many of us are obsessed with the midfield. It's so, so important. But look, we will go past Villa. I hope they can stay ahead of Chelsea and Liverpool, but it's going to be very difficult for them. And they're probably going to have to focus in on the Europa League now, aren't they? Because they're going to be playing Thursday, Sunday very, very soon. Dirty Deed says, can you build a three-man midfield with a Glinios budget? Oh, you've done that one. Thank you very much. What about Alex Scott from Bournemouth? Love it. Brilliant player. Really like him. Almost Carrick-esque as well. He's got that sort of taller midfield vibe going on. I do like Alex Scott at Bournemouth. I don't know whether United are in for him at all, but I do like him very much so. Emily Derry says, I wouldn't mind a combo of Anderson, Enmeka and Belaba, Hackney, João Gomes or Wharton. Again, if you can get three out of those names you've mentioned there, I'd be very, very happy. Very, very happy indeed. Just a bit of spin this morning, by the way. Telegraph have wrote an article today. I'm going to read the quotes and I sort of just don't understand the point, really. Is it Carrick spin from the club to start making us all want to give Carrick the job? Is it anti-Amrim spin to make us think the board's good? Or as I think, is it just total and utter propaganda bollocks that we don't even need to hear? So there's a stark difference, said a senior club figure. Michael Carrick shows empathy. His predecessors lacked. Days after signing his contract on January the 13th, he gave the squad Sundays off after Saturday games, letting players, especially overseas ones, visit family. The small change has been well received, allowing players to enjoy wins briefly before returning motivated. Past United managers often drew complaints for lack of understanding. Players look at it and goes, he cares about my life, a source said. You get an unwritten return on that. So basically, previous managers at Man United didn't always give them the day off after a match, but Carrick does give them the game after a match, and the club think that that makes the players play better. Yeah, mate, it's literally just over a month of winning games. Let's see how that works after year two, because interims, players, results tend to go hand in hand. I don't think it's like rocket science that you give people a day off and they feel happy. When the results start to go bad, let's see how many days you're going to give off there. I mean, it's just incredible to me that that's even a thing, because it's such a small period and we're not playing midweek games either. So of course you can, if Man United play Crystal Palace tomorrow and we're not playing till the following weekend, of course I can give them the day after the match. But if I'm playing on bloody Wednesday, I ain't giving them the day off after the match. They can come in and do a bit of bloody prep, you know? Also goes on to say that Amrim had predominantly young staff, and one of the criticisms were that they would too often wait for his signal to speak up. If it's the opposite with Carrick, who knows and expects his backroom staff to speak their minds. Sessions are shorter and sharper, seldom running beyond an hour or 75 minutes. Regular observers of training say they've been blown away by the intensity and level and quality on show. Training days are more compacted than under Amrim. Players bounce from treatment into team meetings, then to the gym and straight out for training. Mandatory work can wrap up by 12:30. Under Amrim, days were drawn out with long passive gym sessions, breaks for treatment, then lengthy daily team meetings before training, often not finishing till 2. There was no individual work under Amrim. Everything was done en masse with the group. It could not be more different under Carrick and a backroom staff who've wasted no time winning over the players and been instrumental to the turnaround. They all believe repetitive individual work is crucial to players improving, just as they've embraced the work for the performance and data teams. I mean, the detail in that Telegraph article is incredible. That's a club brief. But I don't really understand it, because I look at it and I go, so basically, they're getting more time off, they're doing less training, and you're trying to make out it's more intense. And my question is, why? Why are we hearing about this? Amrim has been sacked, Ten Hag has been sacked, Van Gaal has been sacked. So why do we keep going back talking about them when we've got an interim who's literally brought a staff together he's never worked with before, apart from Woodgate? He's never worked with Holland and he's never worked with Evans. And we're acting like they're the dog's bollocks. I mean, they're as new to it as anybody else. And in 6 months' time, maybe their practices won't work either. It's such a short period of time to go, oh, blown away, this, that and the other. Playing one game a week and we've got a very good squad and the results have improved. That's great. But we haven't reinvented the wheel. This is not like Pep Guardiola at Man City. We've got a long way to go before we get anywhere near that. And the big thing for me is, you get this article where it's all about all this, that and the other, and the players have been blown away. Last week, Mbeumo, Dalot and Cunha all spoke about how good it was under Amorim and how much they loved training under Amorim and how good the dressing room was under Amorim. So I'm sort of confused. I'm listening to players say they loved it under Amorim. He was a great coach. They loved the coaching. They loved the manager. They loved the dressing room. And then a week later, I'm getting, wow, it's so much better now. And I'm like, I don't think it helps Carrick. I personally just think it's the board again. I think it's Wilcox trying to make himself look good. I think that whole interview just comes across as Wilcox or somebody on the board has leaked that to make them look good. I don't think it's actually about Carrick. I don't think it's actually about anything other than a bit of spin from the club to make out that they look good. But what we have to remember is they didn't sack Amorim for performance and results. They sacked him because there was an argument about transfers. And then they interviewed Ollie. And we're going to give the job to Ollie, but there was a fan backlash, so they gave it to Carrick. So they've stumbled on Carrick anyway. And he is doing a good job. But I think it's just... Let's just get Champions League football and see what you do in the summer transfer window, because that's where this board is going to get really assessed, as far as I'm concerned. They always come with this PR bullshit when they sack managers. It be other PR for Carrick if it doesn't work out, says Ray. Emily says Villa should be a lesson to the board of what injuries and a large game volume can do. Emily, look, next season is obviously next season, but I think it's a great point. I think that more and more people, even in this community you talk to, let's enjoy the now, let's win the games, let's get Champions League football. But I haven't spoken to a Man United fan that's not concerned about next season. When we double up on games and we look at that squad, I think the warning signs are there. Arsenal have had so many injuries this season, but they ride them out because they've got two good players in every position. Man City have had a lot of injuries this season. I mean, look, we beat them at Old Trafford. Look at their back four. It wasn't their back four. So Villa, entire midfield gone. Newcastle, entire midfield gone. So I think it's really interesting situation that Man United need to solve in the summer. We had it two seasons ago at centre-back and had to play Casemiro there, says Emily. Yeah, and also Emily as well, you make a good point. We don't know how good the Man United fitness department is. I mean, it's not really relevant because we're only playing one game a week and it's hard to gauge, but I read something about 3 weeks ago about the Man United fitness department, which hasn't massively changed. There's still people there from 10 years ago. So the personnel of Man United's fitness department hasn't changed much. There's a lot of coaches at Carrington, by the way. You know, when you employ a manager, you know, like Carrick's got Holland and Woodgate and Evans. That's a handful of people. You go to Carrington, the amount of coaches there, loads. I wouldn't even like to guess how many coaches there are when Man United trained for the first team. There's loads. A lot of them have been here for years. Years and years and years. So, same with the fitness department. We don't know whether our fitness department's any good or not, because you look at the injuries this season, we've had a few. We've still had a few injuries. I mean, Dorgu's injured at the moment. De Ligt's injured at the moment. Martinez, obviously Mason Mount's always injured. Maguire's had a couple of injuries. We have had quite a few injuries this season, considering we've had a very light workload. Next season, with a heavier workload, more travelling, that causes, you know, plane travel, you know, less time to recover. We could pick up a lot of injuries next season. We definitely could. What day is it? Saturday. What have I just done? I've just lost my live chat. You're a bloody idiot. Make sure you smash a like on the video, everybody, by the way. What's the Instagram thing? Well, if you've not seen my Instagram, then just for the music, check out at Goldbridge Mark. Big announcement tomorrow. I'd already told you yesterday that there is an announcement coming tomorrow, so get ready for that. As far as today goes, 3 o'clock, I'm live on That's Football because there's some good 3 o'clocks. West Ham go to Liverpool. And then I'm doing Leeds Man City at 5:30, and then we're here at 8 o'clock for a Saturday Night Live. We've got a Saturday Night Live tonight at 8 o'clock. So, yep, join me on That's Football, and we'll be back here at 8 o'clock as well. Are you excited for tomorrow's match, says Dylan? I'm always excited to watch Manchester United win, and it always makes my weekend when we do win, even if it's two crappy goals against Brentford and we didn't deserve it. Talking about the McTominay one where we all fell out. But I'm expecting the win tomorrow. I've almost banked the win tomorrow. I think it's just nailed on, to be honest, tomorrow. All we've got to do is turn up. I think Palace are poor. They played on Thursday. Sesko starts, which should deal with any low block. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks everyone for watching. Stay safe, take care, and I'll speak to you all a bit later. Join me on Match Football at 3. Speak to you in a bit.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or sausage biscuit to hash browns, and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.